mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God speaks to us in the epistle which was read to us, particularly the latter part of it, beginning at verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 10. Now these things happened to them as a warning, but they were written down for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation, he'll also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure. In the name of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends and Christ, this is Lent. And one doesn't hear so much said these days. Maybe it's all for the good of what somebody is giving up for Lent. I have to admit, I haven't heard anybody say it in this Lenten season. Maybe people don't give up anything for Lent anymore. And if that means that we have escaped some measure of work righteousness, it's probably a good thing. And yet we do wear the purple in Lent. We say this is a closed season. This is a season of contemplation. And we are not merely to go to church on Wednesday evening, but to spend the days of these weeks in life in prayer and contemplation. That's what our text calls us to today, and I'd like to lay this upon your heart as well as upon my own. But as we read these words of St. Paul, we recognize, first of all, that we are to use our contemplation of God's law as a cause for repentance, for being very much focused. The society in which we live today doesn't really call us to repentance too much. The psychologists remind us in their technical jargon that we ourselves use all kinds of defense mechanisms to defend this thing called our ego, to keep people from criticizing us and hurting us. Therefore, at times we blame other people. We excuse ourselves. After all, what are some of these excuses we use? Everybody's doing it. You don't want me to be an old stuffy preacher, do you? And therefore, a few things now and then will only prove that I'm human. And so it goes. What we're really saying is, God really isn't all that serious about his moral standard, this is. And our culture encourages us to this and seeks to excuse us. They use all kinds of kind words today. Arguments making the clear God, to be moral in the old sense, is this moral, this pietism. They lay the law of this. What they're really saying is, I don't take God all that seriously. He really doesn't want to take the fun out of life. And they object when we read a text something like this. It says, God is serious. When you told the people that they were wrong and punished them, you did that and had it recorded, written down, so that in 1978 you and I are still can hear the word. God is serious in his moral commands to you and me. And you can't pick and choose among them. As if there are certain ones that we would keep and hold ourselves out as superior to other people. God says all of us. And his arm is not shortened. There are people who like to speak of God today as if he no longer is capable of punishing sin. One thing we are reminded of as we remember the cross of Christ is that God is so angry at sin that he did not stop at shedding the blood of his own son. His arm is not shortened in his seriousness about moral, about breaking his moral command. He's in no way resting. The sin that you and I may have committed already is very angry at him. We need to remember that and be sober about it. Our sins find us out and sin is always liable to the judgment of God. Yet the message of once then is first of all to be warned. To be warned against the kinds of sins which the people in the Old Testament committed. Their sins of evil, their sins of frolicking, and the forgetting God who had been so good to them. Eating and drinking and placing the material things and the physical things of life ahead of all others. Remember that these things can be repeated in our day. We need to be focused. I call you, therefore, my friends, with me to a moment of silence, remembrance, and penitence. You bow your head with me for just a moment. We remember our sins. We are comforted also by this fact. There is a God who knows and sees our evil, but who also says, I am here to do something about it. I do not let you alone. We have a God who understands our weaknesses. Such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. We have one who bore the flesh to be there. He was born in his mother's, from his mother's womb, and he walked the dust of this earth. And he knew all of the temptations. He was in all things tempted as you were and I am. And yet, without sin, that he has come, escaped. God is faithful. This is the other great message of Lent, that there is nothing that prevents God from keeping his word. When he says, I love the whole world and will redeem it. We know that he needs it. But he met us to the extent of sending his son to the cross for us. He made a way to escape the guilt which gnaws at us. For he placed the guilt of your sin and mine upon his son. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Where they be red like crimson, they shall be like snow. That is a tremendous promise. I will help you to escape the guilt which rules your life by promising and then bringing to pass the transfer of that guilt upon the innocent Lamb of God. And I will release you from the power of that sin. Pass the transfer of that guilt upon the innocent Lamb of God. And I will release you from the power of that sin. There are times, I suppose, when we feel like crying out the same call, oh, wretched man that I am. He will release me from this body of flesh. These appetites that I can't seem to control. This rising anger that takes control of me. And I know that I should not become angry. This wound which overcomes me, this doubt and fear and lack of trust in my God that I cannot seem to get away from. He will deliver me, and our God said, I will. I will deliver you also from the power of sin, and send his Holy Spirit through the world, into your heart and mind, that we can indeed resist temptation. The great cry of our ages, what do you expect of a human being? Great response of God in the New Testament, I expect a great many things of my people. For they have my moral power, my moral purity. First of all, I give it to them, I transfer it to their credit. And secondly, I sanctify them day by day. That is the way that God chose to rescue his people. So we are sober as we repent sincerely of our sin, and we are comforted. We lose the terror of sin only at the expense of losing the sweetness of the gospel. Both are needed. And how well the apostle reminds us of that here in so many places. Amen. May the peace of God that passes understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ as the life to serve us. Amen.